Could you speak to any authorities that Congress has removed from you or the president since taking office?
Congressman,
Has Congress removed any authorities from you or the president since you've taken office?
Congressman, the point...
That's a yes or no question.
Congressman, the point that you make with respect to Border Patrol agents is exactly why...
You're filibustering. I asked you a yes or no question.
Congressman, the point that you make...
Has Congress removed any authorities from you or the president since you've taken office?
Congressman, the point that you make with respect to Border Patrol agents...
The answer is no. I'd also make the point that you have approximately 20% larger budget than Trump had. The president has made the point that he can't secure the border. He can't get down to because he is waiting on Congress to move. And I just point that out to belay that and to point out the truth of the fact that he has every single authority as President Trump. He has more resources at his disposal than President Trump, yet he has done everything he can to undermine the security of our border. Have you...
So the, oh goodness, almost went deaf. So the whole situation with Mayorkas and his impeachment hearing once again pushed back. And that was just some of the Q&A. We're going to cover all this stuff. It's just a crap news cycle. It's just, I feel like we just should talk about everything, but because I'm so tired of everything going on in D.C. I know you guys are tired of it, too. Is it ever going to happen? Are we ever going to have any kind of accountability? Because I feel like no. And I keep, you know, I keep seeing stories about everything else that our tax dollars are going to go for, except for, you know, accountability and everything else. Welcome to the program, Dana Loesch with you. I wish I could be happier about starting off the program, but yeah, I'm not going to lie. I'm just not going to lie. It's so frustrating. It's so incredibly frustrating. So couple this with just like the stuff that we were talking about yesterday and the story that broke. I'm actually pulling up some of my notes on this because I had a piece on this that ran last night. And then I have a larger piece that I've been working on about just like this trend, this lack of accountability with regards to this administration. And he's, you know, at their fundraising. It's incredibly frustrating because the American people feel that without any kind of accountability, it's almost like lack of representation, right? I mean, it is taxation without representation in a way. So Schumer was arguing that he wanted this tabled. He wanted this impeachment trial tabled. And he was also a little concerned, and this is where Democrats are nervous about this. He's concerned about what it looks like if you have Democrats who are voting against impeaching Mayorkas with all of the headlines out about him with regard to the border, and that looks bad. So they don't want that optic. Can you imagine? They don't want that optic. They don't want to have to deal with that. And so they're trying to untangle themselves from that mess is really what it comes down to. So this, but then at the same time, if you're not executing the law, if you are undermining execution and enforcement of the law, you're not doing your job. And, you know, by that alone, you should be able to be impeached. I mean, this is the Senate's responsibility. It's the Senate's duty. We're going to talk more about this coming up. But this is one of the big things that we're watching today. In addition to this, I'm amused by the left and their insistence that it is completely acceptable to use the FBI and the DOJ to go after petty theft cases. And I say this because there are bigger issues in that whole Ashley Biden story than just the diary by itself. Kane, when has it been customary to bring the full force of the DOJ and FBI involving what you would classify as a petty theft case?
I can't remember a time where that's a thing.
Yeah, I can't remember when it was a thing either. I can't remember when someone spent a month in jail over a petty theft case, but yet the left is arguing that this is reasonable. Yeah.
Didn't we see a bunch of stores being looted?
That was my point exactly. I was very confused about that, because today in Biden's America, you can walk into a retail store and you can steal hundreds of dollars worth of merchandise, and then you can walk, but you can find an abandoned 4 months diary in a flop house, and the entire federal government descends down upon you, and you're arrested and thrown in prison, and people's homes are raided. It's totally fine. Yeah, it doesn't seem right. I love the people who are like, well, they prosecute the shoplifters, Dana. There's a reason why they release the videos. Yeah, so things so you're telling me that your understanding of retail is that things in stores have been abandoned and that the FBI and DOJ raid people's houses for it. Show me all the times that the FBI and DOJ have been raiding people's houses over petty theft with regard to people walking into stores and stealing hundreds of dollars of merchandise. We'll sit here and wait, you absolute product of incest. We'll wait. I am floored by the stupidity of people. I tell you what, don't ever ask me to run for elected office. You don't I freely admit that you do not understand tyranny until you have me in elected office. I am not interested in anybody else's welfare. I freely admit my corruption. I will absolutely go after my enemies, and they will seethe and writhe in front of me, and I will use the full force and scope of the federal government to do it. Don't ever have me in elected office. And I wouldn't want to represent anybody who would vote for me. How dare you? How dare you, people? But seriously, though, I am watching all these bootlickers out there that think this is totally fine. They think this is fine. This is all, like, completely acceptable stuff. Yeah, you know, I mean, go ahead and raid people's houses for it. We had James O'Keefe on the show. Remember Project Veritas back when he was still there? They actually were hesitant in running with any of this information because they were a little nervous about the provenance of it. They were the ones who alerted authorities. And then they go after this Amy Harris chick. They go after this chick. So, yeah. We're going to talk more about this as well here coming up. I'm just setting the table for you right now. Also, additionally with this, the Biden border. Now, listen to this. This is from Axios this morning. Biden's planning to order the limit at the southern border crossings by the end of the month. They said it's not final, but they're expecting the word on the streets that there's going to be an executive order by the end of the month. And he's been watching the polls. People are infuriated, rightfully so. They are absolutely infuriated. This is going so horrifically for the administration. So he's considering executive action on this. But wait a minute, Kane, I thought he couldn't do anything about the border.
Yeah.
Wait, I'm confused.
Hands are tied.
Yeah, his hands are tied. He couldn't do anything about the border. So he can do something about the border? And if he can do something about the border now, why hasn't he done something about the border like all this time earlier? I'm curious.
In his defense, he probably just forgot that he said it.
Yeah, well, yeah, true. Or maybe it wasn't him. Maybe as you know, going into your conspiracy theory, it was his body double. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably was.
Maybe. But this executive order, like I said, expected April. He's looking at restricting the ability, and this is one of the things floated, of restricting the ability of people who are entering illegally to claim asylum. And that provision wouldn't require congressional approval. He wants to use, this is section 212F of the Immigration and Nationality Act, which gives the president leeway to block entry of certain people if it's detrimental to U.S. interests. And he's, it looks like it's coming at the end of the month. But he also said there's no guarantee he's got the power to take action without legislation from Congress, but he's going to lean in. Can we stop saying that phrase? When I hear that phrase, lean in, you know what I want to do? I want to take the tips of my fingers and I want to put them into my palms and I want to tuck my thumb and I want to exert my fist into the throat of the person who says it because I'm so tired of lean in. When did that stupid boardroom jargon become a phrase that's used in everyday life? When, pray tell? When? Anyway, so we're also going to be watching this. We have coming up later on the program, we're going to talk to the FCC chairman, Brendan Carr. Over the plan, the Democrats' plan to take over the Webernets. I'm sure that's going to go real well for everybody. And then we're also going to talk to Senator Ron Johnson a little later because Schumer's, you know, his blocking of this trial and then the House kind of reacting to it. Is it botched by Speaker Johnson? We're going to talk to Senator Ron Johnson. He's a very nice guy. I don't really think he... It's real hard to get him to talk smack about people. I don't know if you're aware of this. I've had him on the program before, and I have tried, and I'm pretty good at it. And that man is like an iceberg. He's not going to crack and thaw, and he's not going to talk smack about nobody. Well, I mean, Democrats, I exclude it. But I'm just curious as to what some of these, you know, some of the Republicans in the Senate think about the happenings in the House. I was told that everything was going to be better. Am I focusing too much on that? Am I being bitter and resentful? Yes, I am. And I have every right to be bitter and resentful because it's tax month. I'm going to be hateful all this month, just so you know that. It's National Theft Month. It's glorified government theft month. And so it is the month where if any time there should be a purge sanctioned, it should be the month of April. I feel like when you meet a certain threshold, you should just get to assault several people and without any kind of penalty, right? Somebody's blaring Green Day too loud, slappity slap. You know what I'm saying? I'm just, you know, I feel like these are things. If you're wearing glitter and you're over the age of 20, like on your face, and you're not going to a rave, slappity slap. You know what I'm saying? Like certain things. If you're wearing butterfly clips in your hair from the 90s, I feel like I should pull those out. You know, I'm just saying things that we're all thinking. And you thought it too. All right, so we're going to cover all this stuff. We also have headlines on the way. I got to tell you, I'm going to get ready to dance with the federal government.
Oh.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
We've all been talking about how we've been poisoned to death, basically, on break, and here's why. Do y'all ever eat them Lunchables? I know you did. Oh, yeah. So, surprise! They're found to contain relatively high lead levels. So Kane and I, and my kids, because they ate them, I ate the little pizza ones all through college, man. They were the bomb.com. But they've got tons of lead and sodium. I knew they had sodium.
Yeah, they're sodium, like, definitely knew that.
I mean, we're talking about the sad, slimy little meat discs on the stale cracker with a weird thing of cheese. And the pizzas were weird. It was like dessert sauce with weird cheese on a weird thing, piece of bread. Consumer Reports says, yeah, they tested 12 store-bought versions of this, and they're so bad for you. They said that, oh my gosh, they got all kinds of stuff that's going to hurt your skeleton and your respiratory system and stuff that's classified as a human carcinogen. It's not safe levels of lead for children. You might as well just have them lick paint. It's real bad.
Wait, there's safe levels of lead?
Yeah, I mean, see, that's the health organization. Okay. Some levels of lead are bad, but your natural immunity system, that's horrible. You know, can I say those words?
Yeah,
the thing that rhymes with schmivermectin, because heaven forbid the YouTube pedophiles get offended and decided to demonetize my video burning an AIDS fire. I mean, you know, heaven forbid. I'm just saying those things are bad, but some lead's okay, Kane. Come on. There you go. Saudi Arabia had to scale back that dystopian hellscape project they were building out in the desert. The 106-mile-long city called The Line, which basically looks like a prison. And they said that they've had to scale it back to just 1.5 miles. And workers are already being laid off at the construction site. They said they wanted it to be completely constructed by the end of the decade. They wanted to increase its full capacity to 9 million people living in this dystopian hellscape that's literally a just single line of a building. And their idea was to make it to where every little section, you can just walk to everything that you need. So you literally never need to leave that block. I've seen horror films like this. Why anybody would want to live there is beyond me. But for the people who do, I'm all for it. Move in, let's all lock the doors, and we can go on, continue living our lives. I'm serious. Let's see. Ooh, speaking of chemicals and pollution and dystopian hellscapes, Kane, the Biden administration has set the first ever limit on forever chemicals in drinking water. Because apparently we're all drinking plastics and we're going to, you know what? It's just going to, everybody's half plasticine anyway. Have you seen some of these chicks on TV? They have anus lips and their faces don't move and they look like pillow people that your kids carried around from the 80s. Let's just be honest about it. Everybody's plastic anyway. Maybe it's something I should consider. Everybody's plastic. Kane, you should do it too. Go ahead and get your face all puffed up a la Putin.
It's weird. I'm not feeling it.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're all going to be plastic anyway. Toxic PFAs or substances, widespread, long-lasting in the environment. Stop drinking out of plastic water bottles. But all the people in the 90s who pushed plastic water bottles, you deserved this. Also, I swear I got a happy... No, I don't have a happy one in here. Don't. Let's see. In China, freak winds killed people. Sure, it's the wind that sucked them out of their apartment and murdered them to death. Sure. Sure it is. Yeah. It couldn't be communism. Freak winds killed three people, but they literally sucked them out of their big, giant apartment buildings in China. Speaking of big, giant apartment buildings, the line in Saudi Arabia, that desert. Peacocks, they're getting booted from an Orlando neighborhood because of feces. Just send them to San Francisco. It might be a change of pace from the people that do it out in the sidewalks. We have a lot more for you. Don't go anywhere or we'll find you. Our friends over at Hillsdale, this is an actual educational institution, and I have a really, really strong guaranteed feeling that if someone, one of their students went up to one of their professors and told that professor exactly what this person told me, I'm going to go into being a politician, pretty sure they'd probably get the same answer, although way more academically put. But Hillsdale is an actual, like I said, educational institution. It's a small Christian classical liberal arts college in southern Michigan, and they were founded in 1844 to defend liberty and to educate people about their responsibilities as citizens and to really understand freedom. And so one of the things that they've been doing, too, is raising awareness of the way that DEI is ruining everything, including maybe even your future surgery. DEI diversity standards are being lowered everywhere in the name of diversity, rather. Medicine, engineering, science, law, they're lowering standards, which itself is racist, because they think that minorities can't meet the standard of measure that everyone else is. So it's kind of crazy. They have a deep dive on this in their latest issue of Imprimis, one of the free things that they offer that you can access when you sign up at DanaForHillsdale.com. All kinds of free resources, deep dives, their digest in Primus, and you get all kinds of videos, everything there. No cost or obligation either. Hillsdale produces and mails in Primus. It's part of its educational mission on behalf of liberty. Sign up for your free subscription today at DanaForHillsdale.com.
American jobs are good, bad, and ugly. Don't look at that headline number that the politicians are spewing on TV. Although more Americans are employed, they're all working for the government. Even worse, most of them are part-time employees.
Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of The Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from The Dana Show.
What I will tell you is I think what he's doing is a mistake. I don't agree with his approach. I think it's outrageous that those three vehicles were hit by drones and taken out on a highway where it wasn't like it was along the shore. It wasn't like there was a convoy moving there, et cetera. So what I'm calling for the Israelis to just call for a ceasefire, allow for the next 6-8 weeks total access to all food and medicine going into the country. I've spoken with everyone from the Saudis to the Jordanians to the Egyptians. They're prepared to move in. They're prepared to move this food in. And I think there's no excuse to not provide for the medical and the food needs of those people. They should be done.
Oh,
now.
Step off, you desiccated geezer. Are you kidding me? Welcome to the show. Juan says Kane and I are super mean today. Tana, last year with you. Bottom of this first hour.
I don't feel like I'm mean at all.
I mean, you're like a sly mean, you know. I don't feel like I'm mean at all. I feel like I'm a bucket of joy. A bucket of joy that can hit you upside your head.
That's laughable stuff.
That's full of, I'm full of sugar and angels. That's what it is. Dana Lash here with you. Bottom of this first hour. You can listen coast to coast. And you can also stream us. We're all over the internet. That's all you need to know. Also X, Channel 347, DirecTV. So Biden says what he thinks what Netanyahu's doing is a mistake. What he really wants Netanyahu to do is to move all operations to a difficult to protect airport in the middle of an urban area and then fly planes out with people falling off the sides of them and leave a bunch of people there to die. That's what he's talking about. Or maybe what he's talking about, you know, could be, is just using drones to just randomly murk innocent people, you know, all throughout the country. Maybe that's what Biden's talking about, you know, doing it repeatedly several times. Maybe that's what he's talking about. I don't know. You know, could be one of those things. But this idea that what happened to the last batch of aid that went in, you all remember? Because they did this before. They stopped everything without getting any hostages, right? And President Brainfart McDaddy showers over here, not even mentioning the hostages at all whatsoever. Not even mentioning the Americans, because y'all are SOL, right? You know, you get caught under an abide, you get like kidnapped, you're a hostage during the Biden administration, you might as well be dead. He's not going to do anything for you. You're going to have to rely on private contractors to come and get you out, right? You're going to have to rely on the goodwill of people like Tim Kennedy to go and volunteer and get you out, because it ain't happening with the State Department. It ain't happening with Joe Biden, unless you're, you know, a WNBA player that nobody watches and you're going to get traded for like a gun runner from Russia. Anyway, but the last time they did this and they stopped everything in Israel once again, which if I was Israel, I would rent a blimp. I'm sure you can do something like this, of a one finger salute, and I would fly it over DC as my response. If I were Israel, that's what I would do. If I were Israel, my response would be similar to that of Leonidas when he kicked that dude in the well. That would have been my response. From Zack Snyder's epic 300. One of the most beautiful things burned to celluloid, by the way. But that's what my response would have been. That's what Israel's response should be. But instead, Netanyahu, and this is where you can criticize the administration of a government without allowing, you know, there are some people who just don't like Jews because they're anti-Semitic, you know, product of, you know, cousins getting with cousins, you know, and that explains it. And they mistake their anti-Semitism, their raging hatred for to Jews. They mistake that for, they think it's the same thing as criticizing Netanyahu's administration. It's not. But you can say Netanyahu seems to be slow walking this because he's too busy trying to focus a response with his decrepit United States audience. He's listening to the Biden administration. The only good thing that the Biden administration can do is get people killed and spend a lot of money. They're epic at that. Like no one, they're the valedictorians of that, the gold medal winners of that Olympics. So instead of, you know, being Leonidas and kicking people into the well, there's been a slow walk. The first time they did this, they stopped everything. This was literally like, what, 2 months after? I think this is in December, actually, when they first did this, according to what I have. They stopped everything. They were trying to get some kind of hostage exchange going. And they allowed food trucks to go in. They allowed aid to go in, which is kind of weird that you're being told that you have to sit here and replenish the supply of your opposition because Hamas is so embedded. And the citizens very much support Hamas. It's a little difficult, right? Like, where's the line? They did this. They allowed everything to go in. Guess what happened to the aid? Do you think that the aid went to the women crying in the streets about them having no food? Do you think that the aid went into the empty bellies of the children there in Gaza? Do you think that the aid, you sure as hell didn't go to the hostages. Do you think that it went to anybody? Who do you think it went to in Gaza? All of the aid, the food, the water, the medical kits. Do you want to know where it went? I'll tell you. When the IDF was going through Gaza City and they were going through the rat tunnels, and it's like vermintide, they're going through the tunnels, they're going and finding all this stuff, they found an epic stash of a massive amount of the aid that had been allowed to come through that Hamas had taken and stockpiled for themselves. They found medical kits littered throughout the tunnels that were part of the aid packages that they were told they must supply. They had to provide this resource. It's the first time in history, I think, that I have seen an entity told that in order to retain popular international opinion, you literally had to resupply your enemy. Hamas took it. They stockpiled it. They squirreled it away. And it was discovered all littered throughout the tunnels. It was discovered at all of these sites. Hostages were asked. I have an article saved, and I had sent this out previously. This was some weeks ago, though. Hostages had been asked, too. Someone actually had the foresight to ask one of the hostages released if they had been able to take advantage, if they had gotten any of this aid. And they said, what aid? They didn't see any of this. So you know it didn't make it to any of the hostages. That's what happened the last time they did this. Hamas took the aid because, and I know this shocks people that have zero understanding of how Gaza operates or who runs Gaza or the political system there, et cetera, et cetera. They get all of their information from stupid influencers on Instagram and TikTok who know equally as much, not as much, about the area. They think that somehow that went to the people, didn't go to any of the people. This was also about the time, this was when that story came out, it was weeks after there was aerial footage showing Hamas blocking the road and not allowing some of the people in Gaza who wanted to leave to leave. Remember that? They showed them block, but there was no international outcry over that because, you know, Hamas gets to do what Hamas wants to do because the people who don't like Jewish people, they're aligned with Hamas who doesn't like Jewish people. So if Hamas gets a little terroristy, you know, so what? They're willing to overlook it for the name of their anti-Semitism. But that's what happened last time. Israel is now being told that they have to actually supply their opposition, that in the war zone that they've created, they have to actually supply that. There was audio, and I didn't play it when I had it the other day, of Bill Clinton. It was a flashback audio of Bill Clinton, and he was telling everybody, this is like 10 years ago, he's like, yeah, Hamas is very clever in how they do this. They embed themselves in urban areas. They surround themselves with civilians so that they have some, they can save some outrage and act like it's everyone else who has no regard for innocent life when it's them. Listen to this. This is Bill Clinton just some years ago. Listen.
Depends on whether you care what happens to the Palestinians as opposed to the Hamas government and the people with guided missiles. Yes, they were. Yes, they were. Now, wait a minute. Yes, they were. And Hamas is really smart. When they decide to rocket Israel, they insinuate themselves in the hospitals, in the schools, in the highly populous areas. And they are smart. So they try. So they try to put the Israelis in a position of either not defending themselves or killing innocents. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time. Look, I don't agree. I killed myself to give the Palestinians a state. I had a deal they turned down that would have given them all of Gaza. All of Gaza, between 96% and 97% of the West Bank, compensating land in Israel.
I cannot bring myself to say that person making that observation is the opposite of wrong, Kane. There are certain lines that I draw.
And especially today.
There's certain lines. But that is not incorrect. Damn, he had a Fetterman moment.
And that was 8 years ago.
Guess
how long Hamas has been doing this.
Hamas has been doing this for quite some time. 8 years ago. So, by the way, yeah, and that was when Hamas broke a ceasefire again. And guess what? Israel was told again, you got to provide aid. At some point, if you're Israel, you got to say, you got to step off. Let's go and look at your list of successes in the past 30 years, United States of America. I mean, y'all are too busy being woke. Did you see what their Navy put out the other day? I can't even believe it. Yesterday, did you see the image of the dude holding the rifle? He had this massive scope on, this like short-range rifle. It was on backwards. I don't even think his rail was set properly. He's all chicken winging it. When you shoulder a rifle like that, you got to tuck it in and you got to be nice and tight, right? This dude had his elbow out there. Like, that man could not have walked through a door frame like that. And I'm just going to say the comments were glorious. And my favorite thing was watching like all the combat vets roast this guy. That needed to be a book of combat vets roasting this guy. I mean, someone was like, oh, that's an officer. Oh, man, I had tears in my eyes and I was legitimately LOLing. But that's what they're doing instead. They're doing that. The recruitment's down because there's no direction. There's no confidence in leadership. Hell, I wouldn't have confidence in leadership. All of my friends who served are telling their kids don't serve, and they're telling everybody else's kids don't serve, unless you want to go through a meat grinder of people who don't know what they're doing, and they're more concerned about DEI and everything else, and making sure that the enemy, your geopolitical foe, feels comfortable instead of, you know, actually defeating them. The social experiment has won out, and they've lost their way. It's sad to say, but that's a hallmark of an empire on the downturn. I mean, Rome didn't really happen in a day. I mean, technically, you know, you could say, but not really. There was a lot of stuff that led up to it. Same thing. But to tell a country like that to say, yeah, well, you need to provide this. I don't need to provide a damn thing. Why don't you have Iran provide it? Iran's been funding Hamas. They've been funding all this destruction. They've been funding the terror. Maybe Iran could send over some food kits. Why don't you have Iran send over the medical supplies this time? Why don't you have them do it? I mean, they've been sending over the money and the munitions and everything else. They've been helping them build the tunnels. And when the money's a little tight and Hamas has to dig up everybody's sewer pipes to make explosives and IEDs, you know, maybe Iran could fund some of that. But for anyone else, the reason that the popularity is waning internationally is because the United States has told Israel that they got to drag this out and they shouldn't. It should be over already. Shock and awe. That's the consequence of FAFO. And this has been 20 years of this, and all the people that are pushing to prolong this, all this death is on your hands. Y'all are killing the innocents. Y'all are just as culpable. If you're excusing this and dragging it out, you're just as much of a terrorist, in my opinion, as Hamas. You really are. There's no gray area. I'm going to talk about gold because, see, we're smart and these people aren't. I'm telling you, we got to get moving. But this is all designed. It's all designed to move you towards owning nothing. All right, as we move, see, you're gonna wanna get some gold and silver. I'm just telling you. And Gold Co makes it so easy to do. It's a really saturated market out there. And what makes them stand out, first off, is the thoroughness of the information that they provide, because they understand that it can be tricky navigating the gold IRA field. So they want to make it easy for you. Very trustworthy. And they want you to be able to add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation, as a hedge against all of the stuff we've been talking about with the government. And so they have this one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers. They explain the economy. They explain how gold IRAs work. And they make it easy for you just to get the benefit of owning physical gold and silver. And it's an important part, as you know, of your overall retirement and savings strategy. They have unmatched customer service, zero complaint record, first-rate service, no pressure. Ask about their highest buyback guarantee and learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver also. So protect your family's financial future and freedom. Get started today at DanaLikesGold.com. Get your free gold kit from Gold Co. Learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. That's DanaLikesGold.com.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
And as I said to you maybe before we started, I don't remember how I said it when we started, is that you got roughly 25 students from K through 12 out of every single class, 25 out of 100 students come from Spanish-speaking homes. How in God's name can we ignore that? It's our future.
What is he talking about? Is Joe Biden doing? Who? I don't even know who he was talking to in that interview. I don't even know this cat anymore.
I don't know who.
Oh, it's Univision. Who it was. Oh, so he's doing his
pander to the Latino vote.
His pander bear. He's trying to pander to everybody. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, I'm sure that'll work. I mean, don't talk to people about jobs, the economy, because heaven forbid brown skin people be interested in those things. As you know, like, women can only be obsessed with abortion and brown skin people can only be obsessed with racism, and the other topics are for the white people. That's how Democrats operate.
But let's say there's 25%, or let's say there's 30% of Latino kids in school. What does that change as to the job the school has to do? I don't understand. I don't get that.
His party is the one that also lowers standards consistently for Hispanic and Latino children in schools. Consistently, because they act as though that they first started this in California. It went disastrously. They were arguing that minority children could not make the grade for advanced math and higher classes like algebra being taught in seventh and eighth grade. So they actually decided to delay in California, and again, this backfired disastrously, and they've been trying to reverse it. They decided to delay, at which point they were going to introduce algebra and other advanced courses to junior high students because they did not feel like bringing minority students up to the same the level of performance that every other student could compete at. It's not that the students couldn't. It's just that Democrats were like, meh, that actually is work for us to do. And we're way better. You know, we're way better at bitching about identity politics than actually doing anything to solve the perceived injustices that we claim exist. I mean, it's very cyclical. It's hurt and rescue. They cause it. So coming up, we got a number of things to get into. We got to talk about some of the FCC stuff, Democrats and the Webernets. We're going to get into some of the latest with 2024, GOP and abortion. Democrats are infuriated because Republicans stole their ball like Lucy and Charlie Brown. We're going to talk about that and more. Stick with us. Coming up next, partners that help bring you free radio. It's our friends over at Caltech, the Sub-2K. Gen 3 is out. It's shipping now. And if you do not have this 9mm carbine, it's one of the newest things. Somewhat new, came out around the first of the year from Caltech. And it is, like I said, 9mm carbine, awesome, simple twist and fold. You can literally fold it right in half, and you don't have to detach your optics to fold it in half either. It's a very simple twist and fold motion. You have that rotating fore-end, patent pending, in either direction, twist in either direction, it folds it right in half, and it just as quickly and easily deploys it with optics and all, which is nice. They've done a lot of upgrades on this. They've got the upgraded aluminum trigger, so you have a more precise feedback, improved accuracy, upgraded action, lightened action for easy racking, ambidextrous bolt hold open as well, all providing improved manipulation. You got a new chamber indicator too, and it's made in America right here, actually in Florida. Caltech family owned and operated, and they've been doing this for a long time. Very innovative, and they stand behind everything that they do. To learn more about the Sub-2K Gen 3, visit KeltechWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C Weapons.com. Tell them that Dana sent you.
From the very beginning, I used to teach the Second Amendment in law school. Mm-hmm. From the very beginning, there were limitations. You couldn't own a cannon. You couldn't.
You could own a rifle,
a gun, but there were certain things you couldn't do. But they weren't weapons of war.
Okay, you can own a cannon, you absolute clown turd. You can own a cannon, and weapons of war are what won this country's independence. Welcome back to the program. Dana Loesch here with you. Biden says it again. He says you can't. I've written about this, I don't know how many times. I do not know how many times. He has claimed, even the Washington Post has said, this is bad, you can't say that. He repeats this false claim. He did this in 2021. Washington Post gave him 4 Pinocchios for it. He did it in 2022. PolitiFact even said that's not true. I mean, you absolutely can own a cannon. That's a lie. And you can own a tank as well. I don't know if people are aware of that. You can also own a tank. So the limitations that he's talking about had to do with things that weren't commonly owned. And that's a phrase that Antonin Scalia had even touched on before I get too further. Again, welcome back. Dana Loesch with you. Top of our second hour, listen coast to coast, and Channel 347 on DirecTV. In the decision with Heller, and I've written about this as well, I've got several books on it. Scalia had noted that at the time, and these are, which we all agree, Biden did not teach on the Second Amendment. Biden has no idea what he's talking about. The only restriction was in the era of the colonies. One of the things that the colonies all agreed on is the idea of something that was an uncommon weapon. And the example that Scalia gave in his opinion on Heller is if it's something like a head axe, right? If it was something that looked like, you know, like Negan's bat from Walking Dead, like his bat with barbed wire all over it, that's kind of an uncommon weapon, right? And if you're walking around with something uncommon, and if it also had to include the caveat was if you're walking around with something that's uncommon, an uncommon weapon, and you're doing so menacingly, meaning that you are brandishing it with intent to intimidate or threaten, that's the restriction that came into play. And that's what Scalia verbatim was talking about in his opinion on Heller that I've covered again over at my newsletter, on my website, in books, on television, etc. So the restriction that Joe Biden is talking there is he has no idea what he's talking about. You can own cannons, you can own tanks, you can. In fact, the cannons have always been in private ownership. In fact, when Washington was getting the army together, one of the first things that they did was they were going around to farmers and other people who had previously served in military battles, military campaigns that maybe had kept some of the cannons, et cetera, had owned them privately to enlist them into helping the Continental Army. And so this idea that they were never in private ownership actually is a rewrite of American history, because this country began with them all being in private ownership. I mean, firearms began all in private ownership. We could not afford to supply every infantryman with a rifle. In fact, you were expected to bring your own, which gets into some of the wording of the Second Amendment. Whenever you hear the phrase well-regulated militia, you have so many uneducated people out there. And it's actually terrifying how dumb these people are. They are not well-read. They're not very intellectual. They don't really have any real academic pursuits. And they have no grasp of American history, nor do they have any understanding of the parlance of the time. When they're talking about well-regulated militia, they're talking about people. And as George Mason noted, it is the whole of the people, every man and woman, save for a few politicians, was his direct quote in discussing it. But when they were talking about the well-regulated militia, they were talking about someone who could actually clean and use his firearm proficiently. That's what they were talking about. And that's what the language meant at the time. But people today who speak with emojis don't really understand that. And this is why education is so incredibly important. And so Joe Biden's attempt to rewrite history on this is shameful. It's shameful. And I think he's one of the dumbest. I don't think he's a smart man. I really don't. You know how you meet people and maybe they don't have, you know, so I've met some people that have all of these Ivy League degrees, and I think they're some of the dumbest people that's ever existed, because you cannot buy actual intelligence. You cannot buy street smart. You can't buy actual intelligence. You cannot purchase intellectual curiosity. You cannot make a lazy person be an autodidact, meaning someone who constantly wants to learn and is motivated by their own, just motivated from within to do so without having to be compelled by any kind of outside influence. And so Joe Biden is, he's a dumb man. He's just dumb. When people said that George Bush was dumb, I actually disagreed with him, because George Bush was actually very, you can dislike his policies. I know this is not, I'm not relitigating that. I would rather literally cut my own arms off and squirt you with the blood from the arteries than actually sit here and diverge from this discussion and argue that. He was not a dumb guy, right? He was a smart individual. He, I think, allowed that narrative of him being dumb to give him cover. Like, he wanted to give himself some cover. It gave him some plausible deniability with certain things. And he used it to his advantage against his political opponents. And you don't have to like him to think that. Reagan was an incredibly smart guy as well, didn't have Ivy League degrees, etc. Joe Biden is stupid. Like, even Bill Clinton is an intelligent person. Joe Biden is dumb as a box of rocks. He's a male bimbo. True. He is a male bimbo. He and his wife are not smart people. He is not a smart person. He has no concept of the things that he talks about. He does not understand foreign policy. At least Jimmy Carter understood a little bit the foreign policy when he was talking about a specific area, or if he was getting a domestic issue wrong. At least he was lying to you. He was being malicious and misrepresenting it. Biden's not even doing that. He's not even smart enough to misrepresent it. He's just stupid. And that's the thing, like, you can't think that everybody on the left is just dumb. Some of them actually are very intelligent. And they will maliciously misrepresent things to you. And they will do like what Bush did. They will allow you to think that they're dumb so that you don't actually see what they're doing that's smart. But Joe Biden is just dumb. He is not a smart man. His kids are dumb. His wife's not bright. He's got dumb people in his administration. For crying out loud, his spokesperson can't even say emeritus. Can't even say it. What did she say the other? Didn't she say expletive incorrectly too? Literally, just the other day.
I mean, tyranny.
Didn't she say expletive or something like that? And I think I died. Tyranny. What else did she say? The Nord Stream pipeline instead of, or the Nordstrom pipeline. I can't even say it incorrectly. The Nordstrom pipeline instead of the Nord Stream pipeline.
Right. And she mispronounced like Democrat politicians' names, like from Hawaii and other people. Oh, like, it's just horrible.
And then Jill Biden can't even say anything. She can't pronounce anything correctly either. And Joe Biden can't even talk. So he's not a smart dude. But the idea that, oh, well, these people didn't, you know, they didn't own cannons. This was, you know, they got to, oh, shut up. That's not true. Have you seen, he's been meeting with the Japanese prime minister. I don't know if you guys have seen some of this. So he has been meeting, he met with the Japanese prime minister, Fumio Kishida. They had a they have a state visit at the White House today. And they were walking around on the grounds. I watched some of this video before I saw this New York Post piece. And I thought, the same thing that the New York Post piece thought. I thought, this is so embarrassing. Like, he's shuffling around in the grass, right? And he was greeted with a salute by a military aide. And then he, like, turned. He was going to salute. And then it's like he forgot what he was doing while he was doing it. And he just had a blank look. He put his sunglasses on to hide the fact that he walks around just like a complete blank slate. It just looks so bad. He is just in constant confusion. Like, he puts his, he's saluted by military aide, and he kind of does one of those, puts his arm up, and then he has really no idea what he's doing. The prime minister of Japan knows exactly what to do. The military aide literally has to use his hands and guide Biden absolutely everywhere. And he even is using his body to kind of lean in and direct him where to go. Biden looks so awkward and not healthy. He looks like a guy from Men in Black, an alien in a human suit. That's what he looks like. Yeah. It maybe, is so bad, Kane.
Maybe onto something.
It's so bad. Juan's showing on the simulcast now. And you see the guy gesture. You see how far that aide puts his hand in front of Biden? Like, he knows that he's dealing with a guy who is not, all his rockets aren't firing. The prime minister of Japan knows where to go. He's looking around, everything. Biden has no clue what the hell he's doing. It is so awkward, right?
Yeah, the gait of his walk is really concerning, because look at the gait of the prime minister's walk. It seems to be just normal and fine.
Biden's like marching. He's marching like you just got balance and you're trying, you don't really know what to do.
Right, like he's avoiding stepping on his corns or something.
It's like watching a woman who can't walk in high heels try to walk in high heels for the first time, right? Have you ever seen that? Like, I see women in heels and I'm like, oh my gosh, you got to learn how to walk in them.
They're like baby deer.
Yeah, he's walking like a woman who does not know how to walk in heels. He's like clomping, like marching. He's lifting his knee up like high. It's weird. It's so weird. So he's led around the White House lawn. They had this event. Biden thanked him for Japan gave us 300 cherry trees. And 3,000 cherry trees over a century ago. And he's like, look at, you know, they were talking about the cherry blossoms. Steve, are cherry blossoms, are they still going? Is that past peak?
The peak bloom's all done. They're pretty much just like closer to green now, just like regular trees. It's back when it's like chilly out.
Okay. So they had, because that was a gift from Japan some years ago. And so they had their meeting, and there's another photo of them. Okay, so here's another photo. It was a Getty image where they're waving at everybody, and Jill's waving, and Kishida's waving, and his wife's waving, and Biden's just holding his fist up. It's weird. He's holding his fist up, and he's like making this weird, like, grimace. He just does not. And the reason I say all this is because this is a guy, we've all had somebody in our family who had a health issue. Everybody. And you've seen people who've had strokes before. This guy, you cannot tell me this guy has not had a stroke. He just looks so unhealthy. He looks so unhealthy. So that's what they're doing today. Meanwhile, in the Republican side of things, Democrats are desperately trying to go. They're looking at Arizona's law. And we're going to talk about this more later on in the program. So Arizona had passed a law against on abortion restrictions, rather. And there are exceptions, but there's few of them. But it's, you know, it's like a case of the mother's life, you know, incest, blah, blah, blah. And Democrats are trying to say, oh, well, there it is. They feel like they have their argument against a state by state basis as it pertains to abortion. And now you've got some of these Republicans that are coming out, and they're like slamming it. They're going after, like, Carrie Lake disavowed the Arizona ruling. And I know Carrie Lake, I've had her on the show before. She seems nice, but you need to realize this is not mean to say this. It's accurate. She literally was a Democrat until a heartbeat ago. You guys know this, right? Like, she literally was a Democrat until like November of 2016. Actually, I don't even think she was in 2016. So my whole point in this is the right has been so eager to turn people who have not spent enough time in conservative causes, in conservative issues, on the ground pushing conservative advocacy. They've been so eager to try to win favor and popularity and try to borrow the optic of being cool that they've rushed to make these people who haven't had time to germinate and mature in this ideology rush to make them generals. Now you have a whole bunch of people that are dragging the party to the left on life.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
This is kind of sad. A United Airlines flight was forced to divert because a dog in first class had a little accident. And despite cleaning, the smell would not go away for 2 hours. And so they actually had to land 1,000 miles away from the intended destination. It was on a flight from Houston to Seattle on Friday. And it was diverted to Dallas. They said it was a mess, and that was the reason for the diversion. It's sad. It's in first class. Let's see this. Oh gosh, I don't know if you saw this. I don't watch Howard Stern because he's like progressive boomer, like hip bad boomer stuff. And some chick, I don't even know who this woman's name is. Elisa Jordan, Jordana, whatever her name is. She was on video attacking her boyfriend in a car on a live stream, and he ended up grabbing her hair. I don't feel bad that he responded physically, because I think if you're a woman and you think that you're going to do this to a dude, I realize that men are taught be chivalrous, but at some point, ladies, you're going to get your ass smacked if you decide to get physical, and stop hiding behind the fact that you're a woman and you think that that gives you a green card to sit here and treat people physically however you think that you feel like treating them. But that was all on camera, and she came out and she apologized. She's like, I want to say I'm sorry, blah, blah, blah. She just looks like a psycho. I don't know, and I'm not surprised that she used to be on his show. A man was chased out of the woods by a naked woman with an axe, and she was arrested. This is in Louisiana. The Slidell Police Department said that the woman, identified as Angela Wagner, was arrested. She's accused of chasing a man through the woods with an axe, all while naked. She was fully clothed at a truck stop, though, when they found her and arrested her for two outstanding warrants. They think drugs may have been a factor. You think? Probably. They probably were. 8.2 million packets of Tide Gain A scenario detergent pods are recalled over faulty packaging. Also, cicada zombies apparently are... CBS says, yes, that hypersexual zombie cicadas are infected with a sexually transmitted fungus, and they're emerging this year. So it just gets grosser, the cicada thing. It just gets nastier. We have more on the way. Brendan Carr with the FCC joins us on his opposition to Biden's plan to take over the internet. Stay with us. We move our partners over at Patriot Mobile. It's the only Christian conservative cell phone service in the country. And Patriot Mobile wants to save you money while also not spending your money on DEI and CRT and abortion on demand, taxpayer funded, all of that stuff. Because honestly, if you have not switched to Patriot Mobile, you're already funding that. You're funding the advocacy for that. I mean, it's all public information. You can go and look for yourself. I mean, it's open secrets. It has it all up there. So this is why it's important to make sure that you know who you're doing business with. And see over at Patriot Mobile, they have dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. You're getting the best service in your area, but you're not funding the left. And you also can get free activation with code Dana. They have plans to fit any budget, any size family or business. You can keep your phone, keep your number. You can upgrade if you want. The choice is yours. 100% U.S.-based customer service team. So you're creating and maintaining U.S.-based jobs. But you use your phone every day. Think about how much you spend per month on your phone bill. Wouldn't you like to spend less and then not have a portion of that money go towards funding progressive causes? Because you can guarantee get that with Patriot Mobile. Visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get that free activation. Make the switch. patriotmobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Whether you're a policy wonk, a news junkie, or simply someone hungry for insightful discourse, the Dana Show podcast has your back. Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. Bottom of the second hour. You can listen coast to coast. You can stream the radio program. You can watch us on X, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. Every time I look at this man's Twitter timeline, it reads like a dystopian horror novel. of everything that is coming down the lane towards crushing internet restrictions, free speech restrictions. And he noted that literally just the other day, the Biden administration was in the Supreme Court actually arguing for social media companies to be able to continue censoring free speech, while they're also simultaneously pushing to expand their control of the internet through what they call net neutrality. And this is what Brendan Carr is warning about. He's commissioner on the Federal Communications Commission, previously general counsel of the FCC. He joins us now via Skype. Sir, always good to have you. I mean, I'm not joking. Every time I take a deep breath and I go and check your timeline because it's always something that they're trying to do. This is like, you know, it's the Wild West, but with restrictions. But there's always something from this administration to further restrict speech. So if they're not trying to pressure social media companies to continue censorship or what they call, you know, for the public good, now we have this second attempt at expansion with net neutrality. Explain this, because a lot of people aren't following what this threat really is.
Yeah, thanks so much. Good to be with you, Dana. One day I hope to come on with some good news, but you're right. Up to now, you know, shining the truth out there, there's a lot of bad things that are going on. And the reality is this, you know, when it comes to control, the government thinks that it just never has enough of it. And, you know, the FCC is going to vote just this month, April 25, to restore these Obama era net neutrality rules. Of course, net neutrality sounds good, but it's simply
neutral.
Orwellian. Yeah, it's simply Orwellian branding. It's about subjecting the internet to what we call Title II regulation, which means it gives the government expansive new authorities over the internet. And this isn't an isolated pinprick. We've seen this, as you noted, with these digital equity rules for the internet that we voted into place at the FCC just last year. We see it with these speech restrictions that are going on. You know, all of these go together, and they're part of the Biden administration's plan to continue to exercise more and more control over the internet.
This is the net neutrality. This was a hot topic of debate, what, 10 years ago? And like you say, whenever Washington, D.C. titles something, it's usually the opposite of what it means. So if it's, you know, about, you know, the Inflation Act, it's not about inflation. If it's about neutrality, it's really not about neutrality. It's, you know, it's government restriction and very, as you said, Orwellian named. Included in this, and I'm pulling this up because I thought this was a joke. I actually thought this was from Babylon Bee, and then I saw it on your timeline that it was true. Broadcasters, for example, they would have to start posting race and gender scorecards, breaking down the demographics of their workforce. This is all the stuff that's like going into everything, where you have the digital equity, then you have the net neutrality. I don't know what that has to do with broadcasting. And if they're already abusing the authority that they have now, I don't even want to imagine what they would do if they got net neutrality passed on the 25th.
Yeah, you're right. These are all individual decisions. So net neutrality is its own thing. You're right. We had this race and gender scorecard thing that we separately imposed on broadcasters. But you're right. You know, this was 2017 when the Trump FCC voted to repeal the FCC's 2-year experiment with net neutrality. If you remember, it was President Obama that directed the FCC mm-hmm. to first do this in 2015. And back in 2017, you remember the apocalyptic headline. CNN ran a bolded banner headline saying, end of the internet as we know it. The Senate Democrats said, if this net neutrality repeal goes through, you'll get the internet one word at a time. And this misleading of the American public about why we need to do this is so concerning. Even today, the FCC doesn't level with the American public. They put out these documents that say we need net neutrality for national security. But the reality is the government already has all the authority they need to deal with any national security threat. Or they say, we need this for consumer privacy. But the truth is the Federal Trade Commission today regulates consumer privacy with respect to broadband providers. Or they say this is great for free expression. As you noted, it's a little ironic given that, again, the Biden administration is literally in the Supreme Court defending their right to jawbone and pressure social media companies into censoring, tell the American people that we need net neutrality for free expression. Once you sort of strip through the veneer of all these protectual claims, you're left with just one thing. It's control. Mm. It's about more and more control of Americans' lives.
Talking with Brendan Carr of the FCC, you noted, too, the 435-page plan of this. that they immediately getting into page two, they start saying, well, there's no oversight already of, you know, broadband today. There's no federal oversight. So that's why we really need this, you know, because it's going to protect free speech. That's not true. I mean, you have oversight authority already.
Yeah, look, the 430 plus page plan from President Biden doesn't go two paragraphs without telling people something that is completely false. They say, well, you need a cop on the beat. This is totally the Wild West right now. That's not true at all.
No.
The Federal Trade Commission has expansive powers over broadband. The FCC itself, as we noted just last year in the digital equity plan, put forth new controls that let them micromanage every single facet of the internet. So when you can't go two paragraphs without directly misleading the American people about what this plan would do and what the status quo is, it's deeply concerning from the get-go.
How is this going to affect how people use the internet? So for those who maybe don't make their living digitally, you know, maybe they just, you know, they consume their news digitally, or they, you know, share things on Instagram, or maybe they have fun, which they shouldn't have TikTok, but maybe they do. How does this affect, you know, the people who don't? I mean, we see this, and for those of us in broadcasting and who work in digital, I mean, obviously it affects us. But how do you make that case to the people who aren't that deep into it?
Yeah, look, you know, the best test case example is to look to Europe. Europe has long had this type of heavy-handed regulatory structure. And look what happened to them during COVID-19. The U.S. networks were 83% faster than those in Europe because the light regulatory touch, not no regulation, but light regulation, incentivized massive levels of investment. So what we saw with the Obama-era approach that did the same thing was a decrease in investment in networks, a reduction in efforts to bridge the digital divide. So I don't think there'll be any immediate sort of negative impacts per se, but the long-term trend line about the incentives to invest and make our networks robust certainly starts to head the wrong way. The good news, though, is this is going to be reversed on appeal. The Supreme Court has been very clear about this doctrine called major questions doctrine, which is that agencies like us at the FCC shouldn't just get to invent new authorities that Congress didn't delegate. And so this is ultimately a Pyrrhic victory at the agency. It'll pass 3-2 partisan vote this month, but I'm very confident that the court will, in relatively short order, overturn it at the end of the day.
I mean, because ultimately neutrality, you know, I mean, it's government trying to put its hand on the scale of something. It's the government getting involved in meddling, whether it's in the infrastructure, the investment, the performance, et cetera, of all of these things. And it's like that, as you just mentioned, if you can't have any kind of government agency do Congress's job and through these edicts make these laws that have such an effect on commerce and usage.
Yeah, and what's funny is if you actually put like basic neutrality rules in place on the table, I think bipartisan people would vote for it. But the thing is, it's not. The progressive left has rejected every effort to try to put basic neutrality rules in place because they want all of these sweeping controls that have nothing to do with neutrality. So they say they want neutrality. What they really want is what we call these Title II provisions that let you regulate everything from market entry to market exit to rate regulation. It's a whole suite of controls that they're really after.
It's government control of, for the lack of a better way to put it, internet business. More government control.
Yeah, no, exactly right.
Exactly. Well, we appreciate you raising awareness of this, and we're going to watch and see. I'm so glad that you say that it's going to be defeated upon appeal. That makes me feel better because I'm like, golly, now there's something else to worry about. But I'm so glad for that. And you're right. One day you're going to come on and you're going to be like, Dana, all this bad stuff has been reversed. I don't have anything bad to share with you. You know, it's all good. You know, maybe next time. And then that's it. We'll have that maybe after November. That'll come after.
I look forward to that day.
There you go. Brendan Carr with the FCC. Always a pleasure. Thank you. Good to see you.
Thanks so much.
And he's right. I mean, it's the government putting its finger on the scale of operations. And a lot of people, I really think that because it can get into the weeds, but ultimately, and there's so many other issues that they're dealing with, whether it's like the digital equity, which is separate from the net neutrality issue. But the net neutrality, just so you know, at its most basic explanation, whenever the government gives something a name, it's always the opposite. It's you don't like the government getting involved in telling businesses how to operate and telling business owners what to do and how they should allow people to access product and what they should decide to charge for themselves. You don't allow government to set those types of controls. So why would you change your perspective on that just because it's a digital product or it's a digital service or the marketplace is digital or it's the access is digital? I mean, it's the exact same formula. It is just a different variable. And make no mistake, if they think that they can convince you that somehow the digital aspect of it changes the game, they'll be able to convince you that that sets a precedent for the government to be able to do this to every single industry, every single type of access, a commerce, everything. That's the whole goal of it. And it's just trying to distill that down because we get it. People are busy and not everybody gets into all this stuff, especially as it relates to, you know, the internet, because, you know, you're all keeping roofs over your head and everything else. But it's super important. You do need to be aware of it. We've got Florida Man on the way and coming up in, pull this up in our third hour, Senator Ron Johnson's going to join us. We're also going to get into this situation with the Republicans and abortion and the Arizona case that just came down yesterday. Democrats are desperately trying to make this the feature of their 2024 messaging. And some Republicans are not helping. There's times you got to stand firm on stuff and not be scared away from your mission because you're worried about the optics or the narrative that Democrats are trying to play. And I see some weak Republicans doing this right now. We're going to talk about that. This is the only coffee I drink. I will not drink any other coffee but Black Rifle Coffee because everything else is absolute communist swill. It really is. And I love my coffee because it is excellently roasted. It's never over roasted. It's never bitter. They have some amazing blends and they get these the best beans in the world. They bring them back to the U.S. where they roast them 5 days a week in Utah and Tennessee, right? A lot of these other cats out there, they don't actually roast them in the U.S. They white label it. They roast it in a foreign country and have foreign jobs that they support. And then they bring it here and then they try to act like they're doing the same thing and they're not. Every bag is roasted in America. This is a veteran-owned, veteran-run company that employs veterans and even active duty. And they also support law enforcement members, first responders, all of that. And they help get much-needed equipment to these folks as well. Premium coffee for premium people who love America. And you get a variety of choices. You can get the whole bean. You can get ground, K-cups, ready to drink. You want it, they got it. They also have kettles, grinders, mugs, everything to make your perfect cup of brew. So try it for yourself because you can save 20% using my name, code Dana, at blackriflecoffee.com. Order today. Join that coffee club and get free shipping. Choose your roast frequency of shipment. It arrives to you at your door like magic. Order today. Sign up for the Black Rifle Coffee Club. Order today. Get 20% off with code Dana. 20% off code Dana, blackriflecoffee.com.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So a Florida man allegedly took out his frustrations on a deputy's parked patrol car, and it happened on camera in Volusia County, Florida. He found himself behind bars. He was caught on camera taking out his frustrations on this patrol car parked in Pearson, according to deputies. 58-year-old Eric Johnson was arrested, charged with felony criminal mischief and attempted burglary of a vehicle, according to the sheriff's office. His mugshot says, "I don't care what." That's literally his expression. Another photo showed a minor dent on the side of the car. He did dent it. That was the extent of the damage. But he does have a long rap sheet. Over 90 charges related to battery, robbery, aggravated assault, and more. Does his mugshot not say, "I don't care"?
Exactly,
I'm telling you what.
Says.
Exactly. Wow. This mugshot, I don't know what to make of. A drunk Florida man believed that he had a right to sit naked in a trash can in public.
It is America,
but, you know, don't get crazy. He's 35? He's 35. Are you kidding me? Dude, there is no way this guy's 35. He looks so old.
Looks like one of the Allman Brothers' cousins.
Old cousins. Like, yeah. It's like Meathead and one of the Allman Brothers' cousins had a baby. His name is Wiley James Weeks.
Oh.
W-Y-L-Y. I need to focus on this for a minute. His name is literally Wiley Weeks.
That says something.
Wiley James Weeks. If I had that name, you would have to call me all three names every time you addressed me. He was found very late Saturday evening. He refused to identify himself, but they said, according to Pinellas County, that he was, quote, drunk and disorderly, and he was sitting naked in a trash can on a public sidewalk, which you're not supposed to do. They said that he wasn't very cooperative, as you know. He was observed sitting there. He wouldn't let people use the trash can. He was drunk. He smelled of alcohol. He could not stand on his feet, and he slurred his words. This is not the first time that he had a similar an encounter like this with law enforcement. He also got drunk and walked around naked in Gulfport, according to the South Sun Sentinel there. So that's, and on that bender, he also got accused of vandalism. So there's some, yeah, so he's done this before. No, I want to do this one. This guy had a, oh, golly, a Florida man with a sword. A Florida man conducts a ritual with a sword while holding a woman captive. John Peter Stevens from Clearwater. 42, he's 42. What is up with these people looking way older than their age? How is this guy 42 years old?
It's not the vax, though. It's not the vaccine.
He looks like he's old enough to be our dad. Why does he look so... He's 42. Anyway, he got angry at this woman because she got a text message, and he took his... I guess he was angry about the text message. He took his phone and threw it on the ground, and then he hit her with his fist. She was forced in the bathroom, and then he decided to get a sword from the living room because that's normal, and he just charged at her while holding the sword's tip towards her. She fell onto the floor. He said he was going to cut her in half or cut her head off if he didn't, if she didn't get back in the room and also get away from him. So very confusing orders. So anyway, she was able to contact police, and he was charged with, oh boy, there's a lot of stuff. He's charged with a lot of stuff. He's in trouble. So let's just put it that. I'm not going to read every single one of these charges because there were a lot there.
But they all make sense.
Yeah, they all make sense. I mean, you know, you read them and you're like, okay. This is insane. A Florida man slashes his ex-wife's tires, led police on a chase, and then drove his car off a cliff.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And this was in he's from the Villages, but it happened in Long Island. So. Roger Foster, 56, of the Villages, was arrested and charged with second-degree criminal contempt, third-degree criminal mischief. Oh, my gosh. Like seven other things. He was arrested in New York's Long Island after cops said he led them on a chase and then drove legit off a cliff into a town. Just yeeted himself, Thelma and Louise style, off a cliff into the town of Greenport. They did take him into custody. And they said that they had everybody working to try to get this guy. Yeah, he literally ignored an end-of-road barrier and drove the car off a cliff and landed in the Long Island Sound in Greenport.
What the heck?
Drove through the guardrail, ended up off the cliff, bounced off the beach and into the Sound.
And he didn't die to death?
He was, quote, uninjured for the most part. No, he did not die to death. That's crazy. Wow. They said that they were prepared to take action, but it didn't happen that way. No, because he did it for them. Good night. That's insane. All right. We have another hour on the way. Senator Ron Johnson is going to join us as well. Don't miss. Stick with us.
Last month, you predicted the Federal Reserve would cut interest rates thanks to falling inflation. But today, data show that inflation rose more than expected for the third straight month. So how concerned are you about the fight against inflation stalling? And do you stand by your prediction for a rate cut?
Well, I do stand by my prediction that before the year is out, there'll be a rate cut. This may delay it a month or so. I'm not sure of that. We don't know what the Fed is going to do for certain. But look, we have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're better situated than we were when we took office, where inflation was skyrocketing. And we have a plan to deal with it, whereas the opposition, my opposition, talks about two things. They just want to cut taxes for the wealthy and raise taxes on other people. And so I think they have no plan. Our plan is one I think is still sustainable.
So not only, first off, that's Joe Biden, who's there. I liked the birds better. He's there with the Japanese prime minister, and he took a question on inflation. Welcome back, Dana Lash, top of this third hour. First off, he's wrong when he goes tax cuts for the wealthy. That's such garbage. I'm so tired of that communist talking point. And that's what it is. It's communist. The top 1%, according to the Tax Foundation, the top 1% pay 46% of all federal income tax. They also pay the highest income tax rate at nearly 30%. That's 30% of your income. The bottom half of taxpayers, anybody who makes essentially under $46,600, they faced an average income tax rate of 3.3%. That is absolute garbage, the talking points on this. Further, inflation is not going away. Inflation still exists, and it's getting, it's increasing. They had the CPI numbers out today. I'm going to pull this up. This is from CNN. Here's the headline. Stubbornly high U.S. inflation grew stronger than expected in March. Surging gas prices, sky-high mortgages, and rent all sent inflation rising more than expected in March. Consumer prices and the CPI's consumer price index picked up again last month, vaulting to a 3.5% increase for the 12 months ended in March. And that's according to the last CPI data that was released on Wednesday. So this is, it's not going away. It's not going away. And CNN, look, see, this is CNN, you know, the very super conservative network. In fact, C stands for Conservative News Network, right? That's CNN, right? Listen to this, audio sound by 22.
This just in, inflation is headed in the wrong direction right now. The latest consumer price report just out shows prices up 3.5% this over same time last year. CNN's Rahel Solomon, just looking through it all, just running into the studio to help us out. What are you seeing in this?
Hey, Kate. So, yeah, you put it pretty well there that this is moving in the wrong direction. Mm-hmm. So 3.5% on an annual basis. To put that in context, that is hotter than what we were expecting and certainly hotter than we saw the month prior. If you look at a CPI on a monthly basis, sort of a similar trend there, right? So coming in at 0.4% on a monthly basis, that is also hotter than we were expecting, okay. And it sort of matches.
But Biden says that it's, that's not what Biden said, though, Kane. He said that, yeah, there's no, it's gone away. We don't have to worry about it anymore.
It's almost like you just lied. Just straight up lied.
These people have no idea what y'all face. They don't know how expensive stuff is when you see it. They don't know. They don't know how much our grocery bills have gone up. They don't do their own shopping. They got people that shop for them. They stock their pantry. They don't even know. They can afford to not know. What is that like? I mean, I can't even afford to not know. What is that like? I can't believe how much milk has gone up. Milk. Crazy. Crazy. So, yeah, this is, yeah, bad. None of it's bad. And also, it is, the Dow was down 500 today. That's also, it's in that same CNN story that I just cited. And yeah, none of that looks good. So I don't think that we're going to get an interest rate cut. That's
we
gone.
Just passed another
we're
spending
not gonna
bill.
We're not going to get that. That's not going to happen.
We just passed another $1.2 trillion spending bill just recently. That'll take us to, what would they say, September, October, something like that,
yeah,
in the budget. So that $1.2 trillion alone is going to keep the Fed from being able to lower the rate. It's not even possible. And remember, just a couple of weeks ago, we played the audio of that economist that talked about how the inflation number we're told is nothing in based in reality. The actual inflation is compounded. So if it was 3.5% last year and it's 3.5% this year, that's 7% inflation. Now you go back several years. You see the chart on inflation. It's done nothing but go north since Biden took office, and all the spending is how it got there.
Yeah, great. This is all just lovely. So, this is what really ultimately, this is what should be the big focus going into November. This is what everybody should be focused on. This should be, I mean, it's the economy. This should be the big, really test of your vote. But that's not what Democrats are doing. In fact, they're focusing on, Arizona and abortion. Jeez, I'm so tired of it. So what you had Arizona Supreme Court that ruled that this law, it's an 1864 law that outlawed abortion with some exceptions, that everyone's saying, oh, you're going to force everything to shut down. Everything's going to shut down. And now you've got Democrats that are freaking out over it. They're using it as a get out the vote apparatus, whereas Republicans are running scared because they're cowards, is really what it is. So the Supreme Court, the right has been divided on this. This is a true test in where you stand on life issues, I think. I don't believe that it's the all or nothing versus incrementalism approach. It's, do you think this went too far or not? That this is the Rorschach test. So you have the AG, Chris Mace, said she's not going to enforce it. She said it was a 4-2 decision, that it was unconscionable and an affront to freedom, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think that the AGs, though, that's like the state legislature that gets to determine what laws are enforceable or not, not the attorney general. So if the attorney general isn't going to enforce the law of the land, then the attorney general of Arizona should resign. But I think, my friend Dan McLaughlin had said that this is a test of pro-life realism, and I think that that's correct, because this is very similar to what we saw with Wisconsin and in Michigan. And the reason that because this is two separate issues, whether or not you think this law goes too far, and the whole other fight of approach to life, all or nothing or incrementalism. And Republicans have got to get their messaging down on this, because already you had Carrie Lake, who said it went too far. And Trump just said apparently that it went too far when he's in Georgia. He's there for a fundraiser. And he said that he said, it's all about states' rights and it'll be straightened out. And he says, I think we have to bring it back into reason and that it will be taken care of, I think. And he was asked, and I think I put the video, and it's like, he was asked if the state's highest court went too far in the ruling. And he said, quote, yes, they did. And that will be straightened out. So there's going to be this kind of divide on the right as it relates to how far with life, because this ruling, so it's an 1864 law, 4-2, after Roe v. Wade, there's no right to abortion, etc. And they said it would make it, there's still exceptions. Arizona already had a 15-week limit on it. And I know Democrats were trying to get this on the, make this a ballot measure this year. I think from everything that I read that they're going to appeal this and they'll probably win. But what they put on here, I'm trying to figure out, so you have exceptions for rape and incest, et cetera, life of the mother, but you're just not able to use it as a form of birth control. So, Kane, what am I missing? Why is everybody freaking out about this? Why are Republicans freaking out about this?
I think they need to make this a national issue and can't allow the states to do their own thing, even though that's what we should be doing.
But they act like it goes, I'm trying to figure out why I'm seeing Republicans act like this goes so much further than anything that they've ever talked about.
That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
I mean, I was reading a response that just came out from some of their lawmakers in Arizona to the AG, who said that she wasn't going to enforce this. I'm just trying to figure out what's different with this. So it's a ban, but there are exceptions, even though they're trying to act like they are not. And even the Wall Street Journal, when they write about it, they said it's a ban on nearly all abortions, because there are those exceptions that are present in every state. Thank you. So I don't know why are people like Carrie Lake running from this?
It's an election year.
Are Republicans so scared of the, and I get it, she's a moderate, and she was just recently a Democrat. Look, this is when the rubber meets the road. If you're a brand new Republican and you were just a Democrat, you're going to be scared of hot button issues like this. And you will crumple because you haven't been tested and you haven't matured in that ideology yet. This is why you can't be rushing to make people generals in the battlefield of ideology when they haven't matured in that ideology yet. That's not an exclusion. It's saying you're not going to put people in charge of thought and be a thought leader for a whole entire ideology that they haven't been a part of until just now. I'm just trying to figure out why some of these Republicans are running away from this. Y'all need to get your messaging in check. This is crazy, because I see now Democrats, you know, rhetorically speaking, they smell blood in the water. They see all these Republicans running scared. They're going to push even harder. So now what? I'm going to tell you, if you think that you're going to be competitive with Democrats by being Democrat light, people will pick the real thing and it won't be you.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
All right, here. So, hang on, I got to wait for this. I saw this headline. New York Post says a goth home that was inspired by cinema's scariest monsters listed for $254,000. It's just a tacky house that's painted black and filled with cheap memorabilia that's probably mass-produced in China. I was really let down by that, I got to tell you. Let's see here. First up, loneliness apparently leads to food addiction and then obesity. Duh. Let's see. A Canadian. Do you really want me to expand on that? It's obvious. Everybody knows. Canadian DNA lab knew its paternity test identified the wrong dads, but it kept selling them anyway. Jeez. Oh, wow. They were knowingly delivered like prenatal paternity tests that routinely identify wrong baby daddies, ruling out the real dads, and left a trail of shattered lives around the globe. Oh, my gosh. And it gets into all of these, like, their lives were upended. And they said that there have been tons of these tests that were proven wrong. During a birth. And they apparently there was a situation where a woman even aborted the child because, oh my gosh, I'm not even kidding you. This is one of the most heinous things I've ever seen in my life. Marriages that were broken up. Oh my gosh. Oh man, you cannot sue these people enough. This DNA lab, it's a ViaGuard Acumetrics. They used guesswork over science, and that's what their own employees said. That's one of the worst stories I think I've ever heard. Oh my gosh. They said that, the Ozempic thing, they said that there are 100 US deaths linked to Ozempic and similar weight loss drugs, including a 28-year-old who died from an intestinal mass in a pregnant woman. Why is a pregnant woman taking that stuff? Oh my gosh. They said that, intestinal mass, more than 100 deaths. They said that they weren't directly caused by the injections, but played a part in it. So technically, I mean, if you wanted to have a battle over semantics, they said that I've read that too, that it messes up your digestive system and you can get dehydrated, and that some of the symptoms included blockages in the intestines even. Wow.
Dying from an intestinal mass, though?
That's crazy. And listen to all the side effects. You know how we always make fun of the side effects of different, those commercials that play, and side effects could include, nausea, death, painful death, dying to death. This has, nausea, vomiting, constipation, diarrhea, fatigue, stomach pain, headaches, dizziness.
I'd rather be a little fat.
Or there's also just intermittent fasting and watching what you eat and working out. And guess what? You don't get an intestinal mass. Vatican declared transgender surgery should never be attempted. Why are they just now declaring this? An entire home was spotted literally floating across the San Francisco Bay. Like a whole house. It was a large wood shingled two-story house that was floating across the bay, towed by a tiny boat. It was a glacial pace. It went from Redwood City towards Sausalito. The Coast Guard confirmed it. It was still in transit Monday afternoon. They said that it was a private transfer and that it was the second to last floating home at the Redwood City Marina because they've been evicting houseboat residents because homeowners filed a lawsuit against the city. There were people who they called liveaboards. They lived on houseboats there and they didn't pay taxes, I guess property taxes and that. Well, then why not create a scheme where you can do that and you can still... But they very slowly, this little float-away house is floating across the bay to somewhere different. Yeah, they've been having a big fight over that. But, the feces and needles and everything else, that's totally acceptable, in San Francisco. You just can't have the liveaboards. So coming up, Senator Ron Johnson next. Stick with us.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think there's no question but that this is not going to result in a conviction because the test of a high crime or misdemeanor being committed has not been alleged. And as a result of that, there will not be a conviction.
Yeah, but what has been alleged is that you have Alejandro Mayorkas not actually doing his job. And as a result, it's led to a catastrophic situation at our southern border. I mean, we're in Texas. We're based in Texas. We have affiliates all along the southern border, all across the United States. And the stuff that we are hearing coming out of places like, McAllen, KURV and everywhere else. I mean, it's a nightmare. I mean, when you have listeners that are and viewers of the simulcast that you're watching now, Channel 347, DirecTV, X, and elsewhere, that are reaching out to you and saying, yeah, I literally drove past another makeshift processing center for illegal immigrants on my way home after I pick my kids up from school. I mean, that's literally what people have been telling us because it's so crazy at the southern border. And then they send like photos and video and everything else. It's a real problem. And this guy is not doing his job. And I'm not even going to get into the New York Times story where it's like, where are the 120 something thousand kids that were brought over illegally? I mean, actual kids, not 20 year olds pretending to be kids, but like 12 year olds, 10 year olds that they can't even find anymore. The third party contractors can't find anymore. I mean, it has been an absolute breakdown in law and order. He's been behind it. So if you're not doing your job, why are you in the position in the first place? So welcome back. Dana Lash with you, joining us now via Skype. One of the senators who's been in on this and has been watching this and been fighting for accountability from Wisconsin, Senator Ron Johnson. Senator, always a pleasure to have you. I wanted to get, so what is the latest? Because I know Chuck Schumer has been trying to table this whole thing. They don't want an impeachment of Mayorkas. They don't, he doesn't want the Senate to do its due diligence by the American citizen. And I'm curious as to if that's going to happen. Is he going to get his, what's the latest?
Well, Dana, well, unfortunately, the parliamentarian ruled that a tabling motion would be in order.
Wow.
We don't agree. She just, you know, doing the bidding of the majority leader, I suppose. But, you know, fortunately, a number of us contacted Speaker Johnson. I don't think he was aware by delivering the articles of impeachment today at 5 o'clock would set up Schumer bringing this thing up Thursday at 1 o'clock. Now, historically, the Senate concludes its business, final vote about 1:45, and people fly home to their states. So that was going to allow Democrats to snuff this thing out in just a few hours. But we contacted the Speaker, and he's going to delay the delivery so at least we can make the point, raise points of order. But, for example, I have the weekend to talk about what a catastrophe the open border policy of not only Biden but Democrats in Congress. You know, what a catastrophe that's been for our nation. There's nothing humane, by the way. They kept saying that Trump's closed border was inhumane. There's nothing humane about an open border policy that is facilitating the multi-billion dollar business model of some of the most evil people on the planet, the human traffickers, the drug traffickers, the sex traffickers. How do you think these young women pay off their $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 human trafficking fee? You know how they do it. It's under the radar. The media's not reporting this. There are such human depredations occurring because of this open border policy. Again, nothing humane about it whatsoever. We need to talk about that. We should be discussing that on the floor of the Senate. It should be in the form of a trial. If we don't get that, at a minimum, we need to draw this thing out so we can talk about this catastrophe as much as possible.
I completely agree with you, Senator, on that. And this, talking about the tabling of Mayorkas's impeachment, we played this audio of your colleague, Senator Romney, saying that, well, it wasn't a high crime or a misdemeanor, so you can't really impeach. But not doing your job, though, does mean that you can, correct?
Well, first of all, Congress determines what a high crime and misdemeanor is. There's really no strong definition, so it is what we say it is. Now, do I expect a conviction in the Senate? No, because all the Democrats also want an open border. I can't emphasize that enough. This isn't just President Biden. It's not just Secretary Mayorkas. Every Democrat in Congress, virtually every Democrat, wants an open border. They caused this problem. They could solve this problem. We didn't need additional legislation. You know, President Trump, with the weakened authority because of court decisions, but even with that weakened authority, he closed the border. President Biden, using that exact same presidential authority, opened it up. So he can close it if he wants to. He just doesn't want to.
And that's the whole point of it. I also think they don't want, talking with Senator Ron Johnson from Wisconsin, I also think that Democrats don't want that optic of actually having them vote against impeaching Mayorkas, vote against holding accountable one of the architects of this chaotic border situation, this deluge that's coming across, because they're Democrat voters. Actually, I mean, when they're surveyed, they agreed with Republicans on the border. Democrats don't want to have that accountability play out in the press like that, I think.
Oh, absolutely. This is the last thing they want to talk about because they know that Americans, by and large, support a closed border, a secure border, a sovereign nation. By the way, the only reason this is getting media attention at all, because Mayor Adams and Mayor Johnson in New York and Chicago, those sanctuary cities, realize that their sanctuary cities can't handle this massive inflow. It was destroying their cities. So they started speaking out about it, forcing the mainstream media, who had been covering up for the Biden administration for years, forced the mainstream media to finally start talking about this, reporting on it to a certain extent, And when more Americans learn of this, you know, other than just watching the few conservative outlets who were covering this catastrophe, they pretty well got exactly what a problem this is and what it's going to be long term as well. So now it became a political issue. Democrats in Congress, by the way, they weren't negotiating for a border security measure that would actually secure the border. All they were looking for is political cover. And unfortunately, those secret negotiations that Mitch McConnell masterminded, to a certain extent, gave them that political cover. Hopefully not to the extent that they're hoping.
Yeah, I mean, this is a disaster. I wanted to ask you about this piece that ran in Daily Caller, where there are some sources saying that Speaker Johnson's handling of some of the Mayorkas impeachment evidence could maybe compromise this case. I don't know if you've seen that story or what you make of, you know, what those sources are alleging. But they're saying that these impeachment managers tasked with prosecuting this case, they're saying that it was ill-prepared evidence, etc. I mean, it seems like the evidence is pretty public, but maybe there's something I don't know, Senator.
Yeah, again, I don't know the specific case. I don't think Chuck Schumer is going to allow the House managers to make their case. So we all have to make it. We have to point out, you know, forget the legalisms behind high crime or misdemeanor, or, you know, whether Mayorkas, you know, his dereliction of duty, his not upholding his oath of office to faithfully execute the laws, whether that rises to impeachment or not. Set that aside. The case we need to prosecute is what a disaster the open border policy is, how we're going to see the ramifications of this for years, if not decades, in the future. This is not going to be something that America is going to overcome anytime soon.
Yeah, no, it's not, unfortunately. Talking with Senator Ron Johnson out of the beautiful state of Wisconsin. I wanted to ask you also, you came out, I'm pulling this up, this was on your website, you've demanded Health and Human Services Secretary Xavier Becerra. I'm amazed that the AG of California can be the Health and Human Services Secretary, knowing nothing about Health and Human Services, but okay. Turn over the unredacted records on the origin of the coronavirus and for him to give a detailed explanation as to why they've ignored this legal request, this requirement to produce all of this information related to what they know about the origins. You still have not been satisfied on that request, correct?
No, not at all. You know, it took a court order under a FOIA request to get the first 4,000 pages of the Fauci emails. Those, of course, were heavily redacted because the agencies can redact under FOIA requests, but Congress is not subject to those redactions. So as an accommodation, we narrowed our request down to 400 pages unredacted. As an accommodation to us, they allowed us to view those pages unredacted 50 pages at a time in a reading room, couldn't take copies, could take notes. We've reviewed about 350 pages. Now it's been over a year that the remaining 50 pages, very heavily redacted, if not 100% redacted in many cases, that's where the incriminating evidence is. They will not provide those to us. Again, even though there's a law, five members of the Homeland Security Committee signed this, the agency shall turn over this information if we're requesting it, and they're not doing it because the executive branch, the administration, is just thumbs its nose at congressional requests. We've allowed our congressional oversight authority to atrophy, and that's a real shame.
Who do these people think that they work for, Senator? I mean, if they cannot redact this information from members of Congress, then why are they being allowed to get away from doing just that?
Because the executive branch has so much authority. Let's face it, Congress holds somebody in contempt of Congress, but if it's an administration official, they didn't prosecute Eric Holder, but they prosecuted Peter Navarro. So it ends up being completely partisan. Congress has very limited enforcement capabilities. What we haven't used. Again, we've allowed it to atrophy. So administrations from both parties understand this, and they don't believe they're accountable to the American public. I mean, this is outrageous. I mean, for example, we've been requesting the analysis of the VAERS system that the health agencies said they were going to do. They say they've done it. They will not turn that over. We fund these agencies. We pay their salaries. We fund the studies. That is the information the American public deserves to have, and yet they still won't turn it over. So it is outrageous. I get passionate about this. I could not be more frustrated, but there's very little I can do, particularly in the minority where I don't have the subpoena power, and I really can't press using our other enforcement mechanisms.
This is everything that's at stake coming up in November, and especially even with a weakened majority in the House. I mean, they could, I mean, if they had the will and the power, they could push to defund these agencies, or at least, you know, freeze their funding, something for there to be some sort of penalty to maybe incentivize them to work with you a little bit more, Senator. But my goodness, they can't, they're not able to marshal any kind of momentum in the House either with only a plus one majority now. So, I mean, really, until that changes, until the makeup of Congress changes, and until I think we get a little bit more in political willpower with some of these elected officials, what I'm hearing is that we may never know.
No, we need strong conservatives to be elected in both the House and the Senate, so that the members of the Uniparty that are part of our conference are marginalized and conservatives can actually rule the roost here. Yeah. We don't have those majorities right now. We need them. You know, listen, I have a great deal of sympathy for the position Speaker Johnson. I think he is a true conservative. I know he'd like to do things that he simply can't do because, again, he's got members of the Uniparty that are happy to fund these agencies, that don't mind big government, that really aren't concerned about massive deficit spending. We have the same problem with Republicans in the Senate as well. So we need the public demanding fiscal responsibility and sanity. We need the public demanding that we stop plundering and mortgaging our kids' future. Right now, the public's really not demanding it.
Yeah, the public's not demanding it. Instead, they're getting distracted on all manner. Anytime Democrats want to distract them with the latest, I don't know, Arizona Supreme Court ruling, whatever it is, then, you know, that's where Americans' attention will go. It's unbelievable. I share your frustration, Senator. Senator Ron Johnson, always enjoy having you on. We have to have you back. And thank you for keeping us aware of this fight and the difficulty as well. We appreciate your time.
Stay well.
Of course. You too.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
So was it this? You made a lot of concessions in the negotiation.
No, I didn't. Okay,
is that
let's get to the bottom of that. Right? That is such a misnomer in life. Let me give you the truth about that now. And I'll give you the truth why I'm not speaker. It's because one person, a member of Congress, wanted me to stop an ethics complaint because he slept with a 17-year-old. An ethics complaint that started before I ever became speaker, and that's illegal, and I'm not going to get in the middle. Did he do it or not? I don't know. But ethics is looking at it. There's other people in jail because of it. And he wanted me to influence it. And you know what? So then they come out and they say, because I kept government open. I'd do it all over again.
I got to be real. That's what I'd heard too. Yeah. But I'm just telling you, that's why I was like, it was a fight between the two of those, him and Gates. It was him and Matt Gaetz. He's talking about Matt Gaetz. We had to play that soundbite from Kevin McCarthy. That was, phew, oh my goodness. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. Yeah, that's, it sounds like I knew it was over. I think Gaetz had wanted McCarthy to intervene on this ethical stuff, and McCarthy did not want to use his political capital for it, and that's what resulted in this. And now we got Mike Johnson, who... he can be the nicest guy in the world, but we're not grading you on how nice you are. We're grading you on how well you're performing as House Speaker. And they're two very entirely different things, and they should not be conflated. And one should not be used as a way to ensure approval of the other. So there you go. I wanted to play that audio, and then I need audio soundbite 10. Tom Cotton has made an amazing point here. Listen to this. It has to be
You talked a lot with Senator Reid about Israel's responsibility to provide aid in Gaza. Why does Israel have a responsibility to provide aid to Gaza? Israel was the victim of an unprovoked vicious attack on October 7th. Why should they provide aid to the aggressor nation or aggressor? Gaza's not a nation, to the aggressors on October 7th. We didn't provide aid to Germany and Japan during World War II.
What we did provide aid to and assistance to many of the countries that we've operated in recently.
But not in World War II. If you had been in George Marshall's or Dwight Eisenhower's position in World War II, would you have wanted to provide aid to Germany?
Yeah, why would you? I mean, Israel is under no condition, nor is there any kind of requirement that they should have to provide any kind of aid to Gaza. I thought that was a great point. Tom Cotton made a very, very good point. So the FISA bill, the House blocked it. The House did something, guys. They voted down the FISA spy bill. Wow. They did something.
Is it voted down or is it just tabled?
No, the Mayorkas thing is tabled. They voted this down.
Okay.
That doesn't mean that they're not going to try to bring it back up. You know, I mean, there's one thing that Democrats are. It's very, very persistent. But so they did something. Look at that. And I'm watching all these lawmakers go, I voted no on the rule for FISA. Good. We shouldn't be spying on people without a search warrant. If it's important enough to spy on people, it's important enough to get the backside and get the a warrant. I know my rights, so you're going to need a warrant for that. So, yeah. You guys know that track. My glove compartment's locked, so there's a trunk in the back, and I know my rights, so you're going to need a warrant for that. Anyway, that was a great Rick Rubin-produced track. So, tomorrow I'm going to talk more about this abortion thing with Arizona and also what the Republican Party needs to be focusing on for 2024. Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, it is our Vice President Kamala Harris. Juan, this is cut 13.
Oh my gosh, I've been
waiting for
this.
Believe she's even insinuating this, but apparently she's against restricting sexually explicit literature in elementary schools. Listen to this.
All right, had it or hit it, book bans. Oh God, had it. Had it, had it, had it. Again, the idea that you would restrict information and
who are these broads?
And you know, the same people who are doing that are this, you know, some of the same people who are denying our history.
I mean, trying to kind of just whitewash it.
It's
more annoying than The View. I love like when like older women are trying to be like super hot. Like, how did I go get some Zima, ladies? Folks, I'll be back with you tomorrow. Go.